If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we are back. This is Pastor Joe Larson. This is What's Right, What's Left Radio Ministry. And we are definitely the voice of the Christian resistance movement. We are a fundamentalist, true New Testament church. We are not a 501c3. We do not have a government seal of approval. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the head of the church. And we aren't a business, so we don't deal with government. We don't deal with the IRS because we have a church, not a business, not a corporation. Right, Randy?
That's correct. That's very much so.
And that's the way the Lord set it up, and well, if he set it up, that's good enough for me. That's the way it should be done then, you know.
That's right.
Otherwise, he would have set it up and said, hey, go to Caesar and get a license, boys, but he didn't say that, did he?
That's right. And once you do, you've signed on to become an agent of whoever licensed you.
Yeah, the pastor becomes an agent for the state.
That's right.
Which means how can he be a pastor and an agent for the state at the same time?
That's right, and we know who wins that one on this earth. We know who wins that one.
Well, God wins every time, sooner or later. Yeah.
Well, sooner or later, but the problem is that the pastor becomes an agent, and most churches, most of the people that are in churches like that don't even realize that that's what happened because they're not aware of what 501c3 is and what
most
it does.
Most churches have no idea. I've asked them, you know, did you ever notice on your, and they took a look at a bulletin, it'll say something about new Brockbury something church LLC. Do you know what that is? And they go, huh?
It's
limited liability corporation.
That's right.
You know that you're a corporation.
Right.
So what's that mean? You know, that, well, boy. Most of these churches out there, I'm sorry, the pastors are quite ignorant, and nothing they were taught in Bible college told them anything about it. So,
Well, the other thing they do is that they'll pay them money to have some kind of program in the church, like the food giveaway. And so they sign up for that. And they commit to 501c3 in order to do that. So it appears to the people there that, well, gee, our church is doing a community service. We're giving food away. We've got a food bank here. We've got all this sort of thing, not realizing that what they've done is that they've basically aligned themselves with the government and submitted to the government to get the program and to take the money, so to speak, and run.
Right. Well, the next part of that, FEMA came out. They were looking for pastors to be FEMA pastors. That if there's an emergency, these FEMA pastors are going to lead their flock and let them tell them whatever the government says, like COVID, you got to take the kill shot. You've got to obey the government. And it was so funny. I remember the first time they tried to get a hold of Pastor Ernie, and there was one caller that really resents ever calling him because he got so much. Ernie started preaching to him, and they hung up on him real quickly, he decided. And he said after that, he said, Joe, I don't think they're going to call you. They didn't. After Ernie, they decided, you know, okay, they're not even going to bother to call me. So we had to laugh. I've got one big story I want to do.
Sure.
Left-wing group pushed a policy that could shape our 2024 vote using your own tax dollars. Now, we've talked about several things like this. This story appears first published in the Daily Signal by Fred Lucas. Documents reveal an organization backed by Obama White House alumni like Valerie Jarrett and bankrolled by liberal dark money donors, that's, you know, hidden money, money you don't know where it came from. They're using this whole situation, uses our tax dollars to pay college students to get out the vote in 2024, doing so before the Biden administration announced the same policy. We did this story about the Biden administration doing this policy, wanting to pay the students to go do this. Of course, it was supposed to be nonpartisan, which is the big joke. You know, I mean, the Biden administration doesn't do anything that's nonpartisan. Now, but the big deal in the story is this was set up behind the scenes first by Obama and his organization and headed by Valerie Jarrett. And the Daily Signal obtained these documents through a public records request. It was seeking documents in the Wisconsin Election Commission related to Biden's controversial executive order to promote this illegal voting thing. And what they found out, an activist in what they call All-In Campus Democratic Challenge, a product of the liberal group Civic Nation, contacted officials with the state of Wisconsin there about the need to allow money from federal work study program, federal money, to pay for students to get busy in election-related work. But late in February, the U.S. Department of Education, along with VP, you know, Kamala Harris, announced that the Biden administration was doing the exact same thing. So we get into this, into the weeds, and we go back and find that they've been using money through federal work-study programs, other programs, and the youth vote back in 2022 helped stop the anticipated red wave for Republican candidates. Remember, there was going to be this big red wave of Republicans?
Sure.
It got stopped. Why? Well, all of a sudden, there was all this money going to these college students to get out there and get out the vote, only they pushed it for Democrats. And these students, remember, he's the one that Biden has promised to forgive student loans.
Student loan, right.
I'm going to forgive your student loans. So they're out there trying to sign people up to vote, but they're remembering who's the one that's going to get rid of all their student debt? Joe Biden.
That's right.
And see how this works, you know? Oh, we're going to, you know, so this whole thing, this All-In, asserted that the youth vote was the deciding factor in the 2022 elections in states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Nevada, Wisconsin. And they said there were 394 colleges and universities in 44 states that were part of this program, recognizing the most engaged campus. They had kind of a reward system, the most engaged campuses for college student voting. And as I dig into this, like I said, there's a lot to it, but it comes out there pushing quietly behind the scenes. Hey, this is who we have to push. Obama's the one that's wanting to forgive your loans. The Democrats are the ones that want to help you get through college, you know, all this stuff. So they had a thing there. The University of Wisconsin officials said it's in the federal language that FWS students are not able to work at the polls on election day nor engage in GOTV voter engagement spaces. That is get out the vote. They were to get out the vote, but it was almost all Democrat get out the vote. And we look at the Civic Nation. Well, the board is Valerie Jarrett, former senior advisor to Barack Obama, his former chief of staff to First Lady Michelle, the former director of the Obama White House domestic policy. You get the, all of these people were involved somehow in the Obama family cabinet, you know, positions, government. So all these groups are really incestuous. All In and other groups run by Civic Nation. So Civic Nation is kind of the head, and they branch out. They have All In and several others that kind of pyramid down, Randy, from this. This is the way George Soros sets it up. He's got his one big organization, and then he's got the next layer, that layer. Each group
supports
two or three other groups, and then that one of those other groups supports two or three groups under them, and it turns out a pyramid that trickles down where there are, you know, now maybe 100 different organizations, and it kind of hides sometimes where the money's coming from.
But don't you think it's kind of interesting, too, that just last week Obama went to the White House and spent a couple days with Joe, and then we see this. It's really kind of interesting to me that, like, all the timing and all of this stuff.
I wonder if Joe remembers he was even there.
And we all know that this is Obama's third term. It's not Biden's administration. This is the Barack Obama's third term in the White House. I mean, there's no two ways about this.
Yeah.
And to me, like Valerie Jarrett, everybody forgets, is still running, I'm pretty sure, the Obama Foundation. You know, that when he left the White House, she was the person that was running the new founded Barack Obama Foundation. Just like the Clintons have a foundation, so did the Obamas. And this Valerie Jarrett, that was her new job when they, you know, all left the White House with Obama after his second term. It's really kind of a travesty.
Well, all of Biden's White House people, almost all of them are former Barack Obama people. On this thing, though, the Department of Ed put out these people are engaged in federal, state, local, tribal, public aid, civil engagement, not associated with any particular interest or group.
But I wonder how many of them
get this before the people miss it. Daily Signal has got documents through the Wisconsin Election Commissions that showed consultation between state officials, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, an agency within the Commerce Department. This is how they cheat. See, instead of going through the Department of Ed, they were over going through other government agencies that were helping fund, direct this kind of thing. This is why it's so hard for us to find the truth. They use organizations in the government, part of the bureaucratic system, to do the dirty work. In places I would have never looked at the National Institute of Standards and Technology to find voter fraud. Would you?
Well, no, but I think about I used to run a poll.
Putting together a plan to comply with Biden's executive orders on getting out the vote.
But
from this National Institute of Standards and Technologies. Now that really aggravates me.
But here in Ohio, they do other underhanded things, like in Cuyahoga County, where I live in Ohio. All of the poll sites have to be handled by the dominant party. And the dominant party where I live in Ohio is Democratic. Exactly. We are. And we touched on this last night a little bit when we talked about the whole gerrymandering thing, that the issue was they gerrymandered the district that I live in, which is a and now they're at the polls now saying that they want to outlaw gerrymandering. So I said they must be kind of happy with whatever the status quo
they don't
is.
Want to change.
And they don't want to change it. But see, out of the district that I live in, the last three people that have represented it have been appointed initially, and then they got were elected. And we all know how.
This guy has been the temporary, been there for a year. Yeah,
right.
We'll put him back in. Yeah.
Right, so they can bring them back in. And I'm saying that, you know, the whole thing is, you know, aside from the fact that obviously nobody's investigating here in Ohio the fact that, like, we have like 3.5 million registered voters, but 4 million people voted. You know?
No problem there, folks. Not that I can see. Hey, now listen to this. We were talking about this group inside the bureaucracy. This institute is one of at least four federal agencies to make a strategic plan public. Now, the Justice Department, however, has claimed presidential privilege to prevent the public release of its own plan for complying with the Biden's orders.
Oh, gee.
So now they're claiming presidential privilege to prevent the public release of Biden's, and the Department of Justice has a plan for this how to get cheat on the vote, but presidential privilege, we can't find out. They won't do a Freedom of Information Act when it's presidential privilege. Yeah, that tells you how corrupt and crooked the government is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, it's even here, like it says, Alan Dershowitz says that Fannie Willis committed the worst, he says, the worst crime I've ever seen prosecutors commit and should be charged with perjury and witness tampering. And it says she ought to be on trial for perjury, conspiring to commit perjury, witness tampering. And he said this in an interview. He says the evidence is overwhelming that she committed perjury, including technical scientific evidence and several witnesses witnessing the act. And Dershowitz is obviously not famous for being this conservative guy. Last month, the Georgia Supreme Court Judge Scott McAfee ruled that Willis could remain on the case on the condition that Nathan Wade, the lead prosecutor whom she appointed, was involved in an affair and stepped down. Wade promptly resigned following the ruling. But my point is that the damage had been done then.
Oh, yeah. Hey, did you hear the latest on him? He's being taken to court for failure to make alimony payments, but he had all this money to take all over the country on these exotic vacations and dates, but he can't make his own payments.
Well, yeah, exactly, and it is. I mean, the whole thing is, and and think about the judge in New York that the Hispanic judge Juan. How you pronounce it, Mershon? His family so far has received roughly about $93 million for trying Trump, and apparently they get a bonus. They've actually proven that that the family's gotten $10 million so far, and that if Trump gets convicted, they'll get more. And he put a gag order on Trump.
There, right? Oh.
Yeah, he put the gag order on Trump, saying that he can no more comment about it. And all Trump was pointing out was that his daughter was a Democratic consultant, so he put a gag order on him. Well, the woman is 34 years old, and that's part of what she does. And so you're denying him now his right of free speech. Because all he did was disclose what was actually factual.
Point out the corruption in the system.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And to me, it's like, how can you let a guy continue to sit on a case when, with that kind of money being handed down to him, and nobody's crying out about that? It's amazing.
Well, that's what we're here for. You are telling the people about the corruption going on. We just told them how big corruption the voting. We get 344 colleges with all the people getting bonuses and everything from teachers, getting money, and many of the liberal professors were getting increases in grades if you participate in, activities like this. So how many, I couldn't find the figures, but how many students out of 340-something colleges were out there running around helping stuff, ballot boxes, ballot harvesting, all this kind of stuff. That is a tremendous army, isn't it?
That is, yeah.
You're paying for it, Randy. You and I paid for it. Style paid for it. And I bet none of them were working for anybody we wanted.
Well, that's exactly right.
You show me one. I'd like to see it. And I call me a doubting Thomas, but this time I don't think I'll be proven wrong.
That is absolutely. I'll tell you another one I've got here. It says.
All right.
It says a bill. I guess it's Mellagen. Over 180 Chinese illegal aliens caught by the Border Patrol.
Bill Mellagen.
Yeah, Mellagen. Okay, excuse me. Yeah, caught by the Border Patrol in San Diego sector in just one day. 180. It says just over 180 Chinese illegal aliens were caught in the San Diego sector of the border Tuesday. Since October 1st, there have been 22,000 Chinese illegal aliens caught by the Border Patrol.
And they're mostly all male between about 18 and 35.
That's exactly what I was getting ready to read next.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're the military types. And, I mean, if you think about it, It says approximately 12 million illegals have crossed the border since the Biden regime took over in 2021, and the numbers are increasing rapidly since they don't have any intention to to seal the border. And obviously, they're running. In case they run out of time, they've actually ratcheted it up. And I always say, what better way to commit a crime than to come in here and they don't even know you exist? Let alone, you know, that you're of your criminal past. Because remember, right. Trump and said in Michigan, and that's another one where the Bidens had said that he that they misrepresented what he said. He talked about the fact that the illegals were coming in here. They were not just from South America. They were from Yemen. They were from parts of Africa and all over the world. And almost all of them were their undesirables. This is almost like when Cuba got opened up in the 60s and they sent all these people in here. And that's exactly what they're doing with our border. Anybody that they don't want, they're letting them leave. And I feel like the Chinese are obviously sending an army in here, and which they've done.
I remember sitting there looking at some of those pictures, and they were coming through, and I noticed, you know, how you if you get just a random sampling of people, you get the overweight, you get the short, you know.
Yeah.
But this group I was watching, it was a large group of the Chinese coming over, all athletic.
Oh, yeah, very athletic.
The way they carried themselves, I was a soldier. They were walking like soldiers.
Yeah.
They weren't walking like people who had been on a several hundred mile journey. These were soldiers type, you know, in good shape.
We always like to say corn fed. They were corn fed, corn bred, and ready to go.
Yeah,
I mean,
they looked in shape, and there weren't anybody that was way overweight. Nobody was too tall. Nobody was too short. Standard.
And I tell you what else, they looked like they all had haircuts, too.
Yeah,
isn't that amazing?
Nobody had the beard and the mustache, the weird, you know, you just kind of go, hey, guys, there's, you know, conformity here, you know.
That's right.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Must be some weird club or social group, right?
What?
Must just be some weird club or social group, right? That must be it.
Yeah, it was a gym. The whole gym club is coming over to
that's
see
right.
a gym in this country.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely amazing. And then here's the other thing, is that they're committing crimes and they're all part of the catch and release program. I mean, we all know that. They're not deporting anybody. They're virtually letting them go.
No, and they're not doing background checks. They're not
That's
taking
right.
DNA samples. They're not, you know, doing anything. They're just, here, come back in 3.5 years when you have your hearing. Let us know, and that's all. Then they go, bye.
Amen. Yes, they do. I mean, the whole thing is just, it's a travesty, and it's obvious what's going on. But I'll tell you what bothers me really more than anything. The man on the street isn't saying or doing anything about any of this. And it's like, you can't wake up.
Bad news, Randy. People are telling me they don't want to hear the news. It's depressing. I don't want to hear it, so I just tune it off.
It's not depressing yet.
Things will get depressing. They're going to wonder, how did we get here? What happened?
That's right.
How did I get in this mess? And then you go, well, we've been trying for 20 years to tell you, you know, but I have a feeling that, you know, then they look at you like you were.
I mean, and the other thing is that bothers me about the man on the street is that I don't like Trump. So you'll ask him why. And my point is that, do you go to the grocery store or the gas pump? Do you, and have you been going for the past, let's say, 5 years? You've been going for the past 5 years, and have you noticed that, like, the prices have gotten way higher, way higher?
Really?
And if nothing else, everybody has to be concerned about.
Look at the gas prices. Look at your rent prices.
That's
mortgage.
Right.
Look at
And I mean, the other thing I say
energy,
about that.
Your gas, look at your natural gas prices, your electric bills. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to go, I think they said the average family has lost, you know, a couple thousand dollars a year because of Biden.
It's $700 a month.
Oh, is that all?
That's it's $700 a month.
Rich and famous, Randy. I was one of the elite, and it didn't affect me. So, you know, yeah, right.
I mean, to me, that is absolutely amazing. Like I said, you know, you can't, you know, because shouldn't you be concerned? The other thing I really enjoyed about Trump that people really hear, the average person to me, if nothing else, and these are certainly the middle of the road people who don't want to get into Democrats and Republicans, is that you notice how little talk there was about attacks on the United States with Trump sitting in the White House. It all went down to a much lower level because everybody knows that bullies don't fight with the children who fight back.
Mm.
You know, and a bully doesn't necessarily, you don't have to win. You just have to fight the bully back. And then all of a sudden he goes
just
away.
Push back.
That's right.
It's not worth pushing you around. There's a consequence. And
that's right.
Bullies don't like, anybody doesn't like, if they can get away. I've been saying this for years. I think 90% of the world is controlled by intimidation.
That's right.
Not real things, just the threat of we will hurt you, we will punch you, we will...
Whatever.
You know, tell your boss, some kind of intimidation on some level. And it usually is enough that it controls most people. They're not willing to stand up and say, no, you know, this is worth fighting for, or no, I will not bend, or no, I won't obey, or whatever it is. Intimidation controls most people.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, it is totally sad. And because when you think about it, even in your own life, most of the negative situations you're confronted with never happen anyway. They don't happen. You know, we always get into the what if, and that goes back to, you know, the Lord also saying, fear not, because it's the threat of fear. And if you think about it, the worst case scenario usually never happens.
Well, remember Winston Churchill? The greatest fear,
sure.
Fear itself?
Sure.
Most people... I know quite a few, especially women, they'll be so worried about, like, a dental, going to the dentist, going somewhere. They'll fret, they'll worry, they'll put themselves through torment. Then they go and they come back, oh, that wasn't too bad.
That's exactly right.
But the thinking about it, the worry about it was overwhelming, consuming, and often it, you know, turns out to be no big deal, but they went through a huge amount of emotional stress, pain, anguish, whatever the right word is. And I think that happens to a great part of humanity.
I do, too. I mean, if you think about it, that's what most regimes that are in power. I mean, think about how the CCP intimidates the rest of China.
Well, you know, after they did the tanks at Tiananmen Square, people got the drift that if the Chinese threaten something, that's not intimidation. They follow through.
That's true.
You know, what was it? It took 3 days to clean the blood off of Tiananmen Square after they wrote tanks over the students. So, no, sometimes it's not intimidation. It's real. No, that's a case where I'd call real fear.
Well, yeah. But they don't have to.
We don't have that in this country. We have intimidation.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you're right. And there's a big difference because sometimes there's no fist in the glove.
Yeah. Speaking of our wonderful government, I've got one here I wanted to get out today. I think I can do it real quick before the break. The swamp is getting deeper. Biden EPA awards billions of dollars to groups loaded with Democrat insiders. The Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, awarded nearly $14 billion today to three organizations with deep ties to the Biden administration and the Democratic Party. The EPA announced the winners of the $20 billion of funding from the massive Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund created by Biden and his signature bill, the Inflation Reduction Act, which was nothing but a green bill. It had nothing to do with reducing inflation, green energy, green bill. Anyway, Climate Unlimited, the Coalition for Green Capital, and Power Forward Communities, three groups taking home most all the money. And don't have the time to go in here, but I've looked through the article. They're all just cram-packed with political people, Biden people, Democratic supporters, fundraisers, you know. I mean, this is just paying the people, giving them money, and these are the money, people that donate money back, that vote Democrat. It's an incestual type of a system. You know, they had the amounts here. The one group, Climate United, is taking home about $7 billion. Coalition for Green, $5 billion. Forward Communities, $2 billion right now. And then they're going to get more of their money down the road. And but as you go through here, the people on the board of directors and the people involved, they're all liberals. They're far left people, and it's just a shame. We've got the best government money can buy, Randy.
That's right. That's right.
Yep, and they keep buying more and more. It's the most corrupt government. I think we're more corrupt than Russia.
Oh, I think so, too.
They have a dictator, and they know what they've got. We've just got corrupt crooks that sell their soul for a few dollars.
That's exactly right, because it at least in Russia, there's a protocol. There's a pathway where you can only go so far, and here
right.
It doesn't matter.
You know what you're up against. Here we never know who the devil is, how he's working. Hey, I think it's time for a break, Randy.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Style, take us away.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. Precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen to that, sister.
Aren't those standards wonderful? Those standards are wonderful.
What's Right, What's Left, Radio Ministry, and we are the voice of the Christian resistance, sitting in for Pastor Ernie on vacation. So some of you thought you didn't waiting to hear his voice. He'll be back Monday. And joining us tonight, I guess, Pastor Hal, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing fine. How about you, my brother?
Good, good.
You're out there trying to still working with that trucking ministry, right?
Yep, trying to get truck drivers saved, and you know, we're doing a good job. It's, the Lord's really blessing these truck drivers. They just got a thirst to, you know, get right with God, and you know, they realize this country's going down the tubes fast, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can straighten up their lives as individuals and this country. But we don't have much time. You know, people need to repent. That's the key.
That sure is. Well, the truckers have realized where Biden came out and is trying to stop make all the trucks electric. And these truck drivers are smart enough to know, hey, wait a minute, they don't work well in cold weather. You know, it takes a couple hours to recharge them. They're heavier, so the truck can't carry as much weight because the electric vehicle is so much heavier they'd have to cut a large portion of their load, which, you know, how much money they can make, they get paid by the load. I mean, they can see disaster coming, so they probably now all of a sudden are more willing to listen to someone than ever before. Would that be correct?
Yeah, you know, people are starting to realize that Biden isn't doing what he's doing because he's stupid or because he's senile. He's getting his orders probably from Obama, who's getting his orders from George Soros and so on and so forth. But everything the Democrat Party does every single day is methodical, planned out, some way that they can destroy America and bring it to its knees and make it a bankrupt, third-rate, UN-controlled country. And that's the goal. And people are waking up, but it's, you know, I'm just worried that they're waking up too late. And, you know, they've been in an apathetic state for so long that they've, like you said, they've taken warnings from Pastor Ernie and you for 20 or 30 years that this is going to happen. But they're so pleasure-minded that all they want to do is plug their heads into TV, sports, and everything else like that, and live for the flesh. And they didn't really think this was going to come, but now it's here, and they don't know what to do about it.
Well, a lot of them are in denial. You know, that's one of the big things they're in denial. Well, it can't really be happening here in America. This kind of thing. I keep telling people we're in the middle of a communist takeover or a revolution, and they, oh, it just can't be, Joe. You can't be right, Pastor Joe. You know, it's not really happening. And I call that denial because the truth is out there. The facts are out there if you're paying attention, right?
Yeah, and like the pastor always says, the real problem starts in the pulpit. You know, most of these pastors are wolves in sheep's clothing that just want to preach a feel-good, you know, everybody's okay, you're okay, I'm okay type, you know, thing from their pulpits and everything. Instead of telling people that if they don't repent, we're going to be headed for destruction. And so, you know, the preachers are pretty much to blame for being cowardly and just going along with a system that's destroying men's souls as well as this country.
Well, Scripture says what judgment begins at the house of God, and look what's happened to most of the churches. They're not churches anymore. They're entertainment centers. They're feel-good places. They're businesses, you know. And for the most part, I'd say 70-80% of the churches are really no more a real house of God.
And the other 22%, the other 22% are on life support.
Yeah.
Right.
The judgment's already come, but they don't even know it.
Right.
Yeah. That's true. A lot of them go to church now to get coffee and donuts.
That's right. That is so true.
And don't make fun of the policemen and their coffee and donuts, all right?
No. I'm on the side of the police. You know, it's the Democrat Party. They're the ones that want to do away with law enforcement altogether and just have anarchy in the streets.
Yeah,
in the pulpits, and
I just threw that in. You got to have a little humor. Sometimes some of the stuff you have to tell people, like the other night, was some pretty heavy stuff, and
yeah.
It really helps. One thing God gives us, the gift of laughter, right? We forget
it's
a blessing, a gift, and it's good to have friends like you. Hey, while you're here, got one story I want to do real quick, get your take. Lonely Crowd, Study Finds is the organization, studyfinds.org. 40% of adults go days without face-to-face interaction. This comes from London, and they did this in this hyper-connected world. They talked about a lot of these people are feeling profound feelings of isolation. Well, they've been on a computer. Their friends are on Facebook. They listen to stuff on YouTube, and they've forgotten how to have real friendships, personal relationships, and we have probably the loneliest generation I think we've ever had. They say 40% have gone 3 days or more without a face-to-face conversation with another person. And it's generally this phenomenon is hitting young adults the hardest. And women are more likely to have this happen to them than the men. And long story short, it goes through a lot of details, but it comes down to, their answers. The psychologists and stuff are telling them, well, I looked down the list of stuff, and nobody's saying, hey, join a good church. Find some brothers and sisters that will be supportive. God gives you this supportive family, right? Brothers and sisters to share your joy, your sorrows, your laughter, your pain, people to help you. You know, you read through this stuff, and I thought, there's not a thing in about 10 suggestions. I'd throw 9 of them out as being totally worthless. Get involved in a gym, you know. They don't say, hey, why don't you go out and help somebody? Get involved in a charity that actually helps other people, do something for other people, and meet like-minded people. You know, they don't have anything decent to tell these lonely people what to do.
But see,
what's worse yet is that these people spend more time than that away from God. You know, not just no intelligent dialogue with other people for 2 or 3 days, but how long does it take for the average Christian to pick up his Bible and read it? Most people, you know, they don't even read a page of their Bible a day, maybe a couple pages in a week at the most. And, you know, they're turning into zombies. The TV doesn't require any intelligent dialogue, neither does their computers. But what's worse yet is that they don't have any intelligent dialogue with their creator. Why, you know, we're in the shape we're in.
But you're forgetting about the fact that billion-dollar industries are springing up out of this phenomenon of the lack of contact. I mean, if you've did either of you read the Starbucks book? Because this whole concept is based on the fact that people are lonely and they're looking for that place. And obviously, they've been very successful at it. And then the other thing we've talked about on this line is that the concept of, do either of you know what the cuddle bar is?
That
people pay money, like in China it's huge, but also, and I think it's in Amsterdam in Europe, they pay money to cuddle with somebody, and it's not prostitute, just to have the physical touch of a human, and they pay massive money for that. And
you're
that
right, I saw that. I should have bookmarked that, but I was so surprised. I thought, who in their right mind would have to pay somebody to give them a hug.
Give them a hug, right. That's right.
Well, you know, even Billy Graham said the world is filled with lonely people. But, you know, these people, instead of turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and finding their fellowship and their comfort and everything, they turn to the garbage of the world. And when you turn to the garbage of the world, you're going to reap emptiness and garbage. And
it's
psychology
like a computer.
Doesn't have any answers. Huh?
Like a computer. Garbage in, garbage
that's
out.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
No wonder, well, the Creator left a need inside, kind of a hole in all of us, and that can only be filled by that relationship with Him. We have that need to know our Father who art in heaven, and people try and fill it with sex, gambling,
right.
Power, money, whatever. I mean, there's so many I could go on, but it was intended to be filled by God with Himself.
Right.
And, you know, that's the simple message, and I don't hear that preach much.
No.
That's right.
Hey, let me know when you want me to give the invitation.
What do you got? How many minutes, Style?
About 10 minutes.
Okay.
About 10. What do you want for the invitation?
Oh, even 5 or 6 minutes. It don't matter.
About 5? Okay. Give us a 5-minute head up. Would you, Style?
Will do.
folks. You know, like you said, the people are filled, you know, with emptiness inside. And the more they try and fill that emptiness with sex, drugs, alcohol, and stuff like that, the deeper that void gets until they wind up committing suicide in different ways and go crazy, you know. And, you know, the answer is right there. It's Jesus Christ. He said, I am the bread of life, and I am, you know, he's the living water. He's the only one that can satisfy, and it's just beyond me how people can look Jesus Christ right in the face and turn around and choose the garbage of the world instead of Jesus.
Because
purpose is not in the things of the world. It's in a person.
It's because your eyes have been opened, and you have been given what the vision. You've had your eyes and ears open and have heard the word. That's why, because what does God say? He's blinded the eyes, or the God of this world has blinded the eyes of men so they cannot see the glorious light of the gospel, right? Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's, you know, the Bible says lights come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Neither would come to the light because their deeds were evil. And, you know, that's the whole problem right there. People don't want to repent of their evil deeds, and so they're going to reap what they sow.
Well, people tend to cling to what they know. I got one more quick story I want to do because it follows study. This was by the psychologypost.org. Woke attitudes linked to anxiety, depression, and lack of happiness. A new psychological assessment developed to measure the endorsement of attitudes related to critical social justice. The findings from a Finnish study reveal stronger alignment with these so-called woke beliefs correlate with heightened instances of anxiety, depression, loneliness, and this was in the Scandinavian Journal of Psychology. So the more they preach and teach critical social justice, the more depressed, disoriented, and anxious people we have, and the more they keep bringing up concepts like intersectionality, anti-racism, wokeness, all it seems to do is harm those that start to follow this. Can I say Bravo Sierra on the radio style?
If you say it like that, Bravo Sierra.
Bravo Sierra, right.
Yeah.
And if you've been in the military, you know what Bravo Sierra is. Out here on the farm, we shovel it up and put it on the pasture and call it manure.
Yeah.
I think that's okay. Anyway, and they were talking about how they looked over at the American universities and this new discourse on social justice becoming prevalent in the study office. Couple authors, he's got a name I can't pronounce anyway. So anyway, he's a doctor, but he's saying here in America, they noticed it's really bad. And this process, they look at the review the literature on intersectional feminism, critical race theory, queer theory, and he's going, this is overwhelming. And they looked at this about 800 or 900 people from all over and came to the same thing. We're messing up the young people, to make it simple. All these microaggressions are turning people into, well, what would we call them, wildflowers? What's that other term? You know, they have to have the timeouts and all that. What do they call those kids? They're the ones that get excited over something and they have to be protected.
Yeah,
you guys, we all know what I'm talking about, but I can't remember the word. The wallflowers, we've got this bunch of kids that can't take, you know, they get traumatized over things and they, you know, just can't handle it. They have no way to stand on their own feet. Okay, so,
got 5 minutes. Let me just say, you know, everybody's been hearing about everything that's going wrong, and it is. We're in a cesspool, and it's getting worse under what's happening. But the good news is, here's the good news. You can be saved. You can be saved from all this. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you and I have ever done. And heaven is a place that if you could take all the joy you've ever felt, all the pleasure and happiness you've ever experienced and put it together in a single moment, that single moment wouldn't even begin to compare to what Jesus has waiting for us in heaven. If we simply come to him and simple childlike faith, repenting about our sins, being sorry about the fact we're sinners, and asking him to come into our heart and give to us the payment he paid in full on that cross. Now, I could go on and on and on, over and over and over again, to tell you about why you need the gospel of Christ and what Jesus did for you on that cross. But filling your head with all this knowledge isn't going to get you saved. And the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but receive him as your Savior, because you getting that knowledge and not doing anything with it, the devil's going to come along and start to take that away from you and get your heart cold again, to where you could end up dying and going to hell with all that head knowledge without receiving Jesus as your Savior. So everything we're saying to you about the gospel, repentance, and what Jesus did for you on the cross is to get to the point where right now, tonight, you sincerely give your heart and mind and soul to Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved, as saved from hell, through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. You can't earn it, work it, work for it, or you know, all the works you do can't wash away one sin you've already done. But the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect sinless blood, can wash away every sin you've ever done, no matter if you're the worst sinner on 2 feet or whether you think you're not hardly any sinner at all. One sin or a billion sins, you need Jesus Christ, his blood, to wash away your sins. And when you come to the cross, see, God's a God of perfect righteousness. He can't let sin go unpunished. So when you come to the cross and plead guilty to the fact you're a sinner and being sorry about that, and you ask Jesus to come into your heart, Jesus said it is finished when he died on that cross. That means all the work necessary for your redemption has been done by him. So when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, he comes in right then and there and gives to you the payment he paid in your place on the cross. He did all the work. You can't do anything to add to it. And your church membership, no pope, priest, or anybody else like that can get you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ. And so God hears me talking to you right now. God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. We're all creations of God, but to go to heaven, you have to become a son of God. How do you do that? Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, and you call upon him, which means pray and ask him to come into your heart right here and right now, he'll do it. Then nobody else can do that for you. So my job as a preacher is to lead people to Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved from hell, if you want to go to heaven when you die, which could be tonight or a million years, who knows when you're going to die, but you got to be ready or you're going to be in the hot water, a lake of fire, in fact. But if you want Jesus as your Savior, pray. Let me lead you in a prayer right now. And even though we're praying together, it's directly between you and God. So Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart right now, but he's asking you to open up that door and let him come in, because salvation is a gift. It's not something he forces on you. So if you want Jesus in your heart, if you want the eternal salvation, if you want a home in heaven, let's pray. Oh, dear God, I confess unto you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And I flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, to the Calvary. And Lord Jesus, I'm asking you right now to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, and save my soul from hell, because I believe that you, and only you, died on that cross and shed your blood to wash away my sins. And I'm making you my Lord and my Savior right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer just now and meant it, 1 John 5:13 says that you can know you have eternal life, because God made you that promise, and God cannot lie. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. We're at that time. It's time to say good night.
Good night. God bless. And always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.